God, it begins to move limits. It begins to remove our sight. You know, we can see further. We can see past where we're at, praise God. And I was thinking about it today in Romans 12:3. Give me that, man, please. With us. Go ahead and read that. Romans 12, chapter 12, verse 8. He says, "For I say, though the grace given to me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." Now, you know, somebody that's born again can argue with that. They can say, "Well, I just don't have no faith." That's not what the Word says. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says he's dealt to every man. Somebody say every man.
Every man.
The measure of faith. Now, we're not talking about, we have confidence in our vehicles cranking and going home. We have confidence in our clocks going off in the morning and But faith is different. Faith is a supernatural force that comes from God that he gives to every man.
Hallelujah.
We've been given God kind of faith. We've been given the same kind of faith that God has. I got to say it again. We've been given the same kind of faith that God has. Right there.
Amen.
"According as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." He gives everybody a measure of faith. Hallelujah. But how many knows we don't have to stay in that level of faith? How many knows he intends on us going from one level of faith to another level of faith? One level of glory to another level of glory. You see, as we begin to build on the faith that God gives us through the Word of God, and we begin to put action with what we're finding out in the Word of God, it begins to move limits off of our lives. It begins to move. I was thinking about this. I can remember a time when I thought, whenever Travis was a little baby, you know, and Christmas would start getting around about October, I start thinking, "Oh man, Christmas is coming up, and man, I mean, we're not going to have any money." And you know, I can remember those times in the Lord, you know, and thinking, "Man, you know, Travis is not going to have any Christmas, you know," or whatever. Those thoughts come into my mind. What they were trying to do is limit me. And so I would start about October, and I'd start saying, "God, in the name of Jesus right now, Lord, according to the faith that I have, you said, be it done unto me according to my faith. Your word declares to me that you will supply all of my needs. Now, Lord, I need money in advance for Travis for Christmas." You know, the kid never lacked.
Amen.
I would start not when Christmas nearly got there. Then before you know it, I'd start in January.
Come on.
Start believing for December and January. See what that's doing? That's going ahead and taking the limits off. Don't wait till you get to where you know you're going to need before you begin to use your faith.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. That's baby. That's baby stage. That's baby stage. And that's fine. If we're in our baby stage, that's fine. Hallelujah. But don't stay there. Yeah. We can't stay there. Because God, there's things that God wants in our life. The good life. I just call it the good life. A life where it's to the full, till it overflows. Jesus said it in John 10:10. He said, "But I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." Well, the word abundantly means to the full, till it overflows. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Not your body, not your finances, not your marriage, not your kids, not your relationship, not your well-being, your emotional well-being, not any of that. None of that broken.
Come on.
You need to believe God from where we are until we come into the fullness of what that says in John 10:10. Our bodies are lined up with the Word of God. Our finances are lined up with the Word of God. Our marriages are lined up with the Word of God.
Amen.
And devils just bow when we walk out of the house. Boom, hit the ground.
You,
they look from a neighbor over there that's lost. They say, "We're going to get out of Dodge. Here they come."
Bless you, Lord.
Now that seems funny, but God, but I mean, I'm telling you, they do it around my house.
That's right.
See, faith takes the limitations from your mind too. When you're walking in faith and you're developing faith, I was thinking about this. I thought about this today. Okay, I was put in a situation where I had to have open heart surgery, okay? I did not want to go there. Ain't nobody in their right mind wants their chest bone sawed clean into and laid open. And I don't know what they do to your heart, but they go in there and do all kinds of stuff. They shut your body's laying there dead, and they put you on a machine, and they pump that blood for however how many hours that it takes them to do the surgery on you. Knowing that beforehand, that's the last place that this Christian wanted to be.
Yeah.
But facing that giant, somebody come to me and they said, well, you know, we just want to warn you ahead. They meant well. They meant well. They didn't mean me no harm. The people that was telling me these things, you know, they didn't mean no harm to me. Came to me pre-surgery and said, well, now, you know, it's just going to be, you know, you're going to go into depression after the surgery. You're going, it happened to me and everybody I know it happened to, and all of that stuff, and you know, it's going to happen to you. It just happens to everybody. Well, you know, I done read over there in Isaiah where he took oppression on himself.
Hallelujah, man.
Y'all remember? You ever read it?
Yeah.
Give me that scripture before I finish it. Isaiah, please. Before I finish it. Oh, Isaiah 53, I think. 54. 53. Isaiah 53. Oh, Zach didn't get it to you.
Isaiah
53 and verse. I'm getting way ahead of myself on this that time. Maybe I didn't write it down. Yep, yep. Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. Surely he hath borne our grief, carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, but he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes ye are healed. We are. Somebody say we are.
We are.
That's a present tense word. Present tense. We are healed. But it says he was wounded for our transgression. And I want to read you what I wrote down here. I looked some things up in that when it started sticking out to me. Okay. It says he was bruised for our iniquity, lawless. The chastisement of our peace was on him, and with his stripes we're healed. What that means is that he took oppression, he took what he was telling me, he took all of that that comes along with anything that we face on this planet that is ungodly. Oppression is ungodly.
Yeah.
Depression is ungodly.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
And so I told him, I said, well, I'm glad you told me that. I said, but I don't get oppressed.
Yeah.
I said, I just know I'm sitting there and I'm like, no, I'm not going to take that. I said, I don't get oppressed. Well, I'm just warning you. And I said, well, I'm telling you. I said, Jesus done took oppression for me, but God, the statistics say everybody does, but I'm not in the statistics. I'm in the Lord. I'm in the power of his might. I said, and I'm going in faith, and I'm going to come out in faith. Like God. And so then he goes on, and he didn't mean no harm to me now. Don't get all like people trying just to kill you and destroy you, you know. You just got to watch what you hear, what they say, because everything you hear, Google, Facebook, is seed.
Right.
And seeds will cause you to limit God. Put limits on God. Read your Bible in Psalm 78. But faith, when we have faith in God, see, believing those seeds would have been laying down my faith and taking up those seeds and saying, well, that's just the way it is. But faith says, no, put a demand on the promise. Put a demand on the promise. And so I said, well, I appreciate you telling me that, but I won't get oppressed. I said, it happened to me right before you got here. One tear ran down my cheek, and I'm getting oppressed before I went into open heart surgery. And I shook at Teresa, what's wrong with you? I shook it off. But God, that's the last time this boy has been oppressed.
Amen.
I hadn't even had surgery yet. There was nothing to be sad about, man. Spirit of oppression trying to move on me. I mean, those spirits that oppress you. And so then he says, he said, well, okay, man, I mean, I'm just telling you my experience. And I said, well, good. I mean, we don't believe based on other people's experience. We don't believe based on what we're experiencing. We believe based on what?
The Word.
Come on, everybody, get in here.
The Word.
We believe based on what?
The Word.
Word of God, right? Word of God. Because everybody said, we just said, the joy of the Lord is our strength. We believe based on what? The Word. See, now this causes us to get in a place of faith that takes the limb where other people are limited and oppressed and sick and discouraged. We're victorious.
Yeah.
And we don't need the church out here to be there. We come in here to get equipped. Somebody say we come to get equipped. To go out there and put that armor on. We have the armor of God on. We have the shield of faith. We have the Word of God. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the God kind of faith we just read. Now you got to move over into that kind of thinking. You can't just think, I'm just Scotty. You know, it's just the way life is and all of that. You know, it's just the way it is. I'm a Weston. I was born poor. I was born stupid. My daddy told me I was born under a rock. I tell him, which rock, Dad? He's messing with me. You know? For a long time, I thought, well, I wonder what rock I was born under. I guess he didn't want to explain how I got here. Maybe, I don't know. But I found out in the Bible who I really was. I found out that I'm a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, to give praises to a living God. I found out that I was the head, not the tail. I found out that I would lend and not borrow. Hallelujah. I found out that I would be above and not beneath. And bless God, I jumped on that wagon train back yonder when I was broke, weak, and sick, and disgusted, and oppressed. And I jumped on that, and I started putting that Word of God on the inside of me in the morning, in 9 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock. I mean, I spent 6 or 8 months just word. And I went but 3 months old in the Lord. Some of us say 10 years not to get our Bible out. Come on, somebody. And it'll cause us to have little faith. Well, anyways, okay, I go on and he said, well, I will tell you something else. I thought, great. I said, okay, go ahead. He said, they're going to give you a pillow, and it's going to be your best friend. I said, why is it going to be my best friend? He said, because when you cough, he said, you're going to need that pillow. Well, you've been sawed open. You understand? And if you get phlegm and stuff in your lungs and coughing, you're going to be in some major pain for them. And I seen my dad go through heart surgery back there, and he never was the same. So I had some evidence in front of me that this ain't going to be a good life after this. I had evidence. Somebody say, just evidence.
Just evidence.
But I had the Word of God.
Amen.
The Bible says the Word of God is a more sure word of prophecy.
Yes.
A more sure word. And so I says, well, I made up my mind right then. I said, it's not going to happen to me. Ain't no pillow going to be my best friend. And but God, you know what? I jumped on it and believed God. I said, God, I won't be coughing when I come out of there. I won't have to cough. You done took my pain. You done bore my sorrows in Isaiah 53. But God, you done took it all. You bore my pain. You took them on yourself, Lord. And I'll walk out of here. I won't be in pain like I'm here.
Yeah.
I never used that pillow. I gave it to all of you. They come in there and give me them treatments to make me cough. I still wouldn't cough. I ain't gonna cough. Nope. I believed I wasn't coughing before I went in. I don't believe I'm gonna cough and it'd be in pain when I come out. Now you can think that's dumb if you want to, but I had it.
Amen.
I never did have to start. Imagine I would if I had them. The Lord told me He said, I want you to go tell them this again. I thought, well, I can tell them all the time, Lord. I tell them all the time. He said, yeah, that faith comes by hearing sight. He said, you heard. He said, if the faith don't come by what you heard. You know what the scripture says, son. He said, faith comes by hearing. He said, there's some there that's got faith that I'm going to raise their faith. I'm going to raise them up. I'm going to bring them on up to another level. I'm going to show them my glory through their faith.
Amen. Come on.
See, he can only show me his glory through my faith. Some people think, well, God's a sovereign God, and he is a sovereign God. But he come down, he give the earth to the sons of men, the children of men. He give us dominion down here. He told us to go take up serpents, cast out devils, preach the gospel, heal the sick, cast out all of that. He told us to. He said, take dominion on the earth. Adam had total dominion, gave it over to Satan. But Jesus come back and redeemed us. He redeemed back the dominion and he gave it to us. God gave it to Jesus and then Jesus gave it to us. But we live in Bluntsville.
Come on.
Or wherever you live. I'm preaching all over the world. Zimbabwe. It don't make no difference where you live. Jesus is just the same today as he was when he walked the seas of Galilee. He's not changed. God has not changed a bit. See, we're living in a generation, if we're not careful, we go along with the culture and Satan injects thoughts and feelings and emotions and surroundings around us to cause us to believe that God can't move for us like he did in Bible terms. But I'm here to tell you, I am one walking miracle. And I'm not boasting on me. I told you, and I know myself, that in me I have many, many limitations. But greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world. Hallelujah. And if God be for us, who can be against us? And he is.
Amen.
He is. So I went in there and I came out in faith. Yes, sir. I experienced weakness. I experienced things. But I'm going to tell you what, I didn't sit there and dry up in it. But God, I told my body what it's going to do. I told my emotions what they were going to do. But God, and I told myself, I go in the name of the Lord God Almighty. I go in his strength. I go in his name. And it wasn't long. All that I could tell, I'm getting stronger. I'm getting stronger and stronger and stronger. But there's one thing that we never can do. I don't care if it's in the final. I don't know what we're going to do. Don't say that. Yeah. That is a lie. You're believing a lie and you're saying it out of your mouth. And because you're saying it out of your mouth, I know you believe the lie. I know how you believe based on what you say. Well, nobody knows what's going on at my house. You're in a pity party. You're feeling sorry for yourself. Like, we ain't got trials, really? Come on to somebody. Everybody in here goes through things. We can all lay down and just whine, whine, whine. But that's what Satan wants to do. He wants to make us feel isolated. Ain't nobody in pain like I am. You ain't been where everybody else been, so how do you know? You ain't had no heart surgery. You don't know what kind of pain I was in or was or not. But you know what? The Bible says, follow after those who through faith and patience inherit the healing, inherit the joy, inherit the... Right?
Yes.
So if somebody goes before you in the example and they start believing God in January for Christmas, they end up blessed at Christmas, say glory to God, they start in January. I'm starting next month.
Amen.
Follow after them. Yeah. Me and Teresa, we put things on the refrigerator. We believe in for vacation right after we get back off of one. Whole solid year later. Well, one year, my vacation money was took. Our first vacation, we saved up all year. And then something come and took it. Not stolen from us, a situation rose up. Well, you know what? I can say, what's the use of believing for a vacation? Something's always going to take it. You know what I didn't? I said, glory to God. No weapon formed against me will prosper. Yes, that happened to me, black God, but I will go on vacation. I go every year now, no problem.
Amen. Bless you, Lord.
Well, I wish I could go, well, we can't afford it. Well, there's what you're going to have. You can't afford it. You just can't afford it. The next year, we can't afford it. Next year, we can't afford it. We can't. You've lived in God. You can afford anything God says you can do. If he said you can go on vacation 18 times a year, I guarantee you, if he has to move mountains for you to get the money 18 times a year, you will go on vacation if you don't stagger. If you don't let down your faith. If you don't quit. Hallelujah. Give me a... Let me see what I want. Let me see. Let's see. How many knows that we ourselves have many limitations? Situations present limitations to you. Situations will always... And you know what? Us people that have believed and come out of poverty, driving in nice cars and stuff, we better watch how we feel about people that ain't got nothing but a rusted down doodle. That ain't got no nice house and nice curtains and nice pots and pans. And you know, we got to watch that. The Bible says that for us to not to think more highly. We read it a while ago than we ought to. Because that right there will put some limitations on God in your life from even bringing you from nothing to something. And it'll open the door for the devil to come in and start stealing and killing. Hallelujah. Just thought I'd throw that out there. I'll never forget where I came from. I was a nobody going nowhere. And bless God, now I'm somebody in the Lord, and I'm everywhere. You're everywhere. God's took people like us. Some of us don't know what it's like not to have no money in a long time, and that's great. We're supposed to increase. We're supposed to get there. We're supposed to go there. But we got to watch how we think about others that don't have a bunch of deadbeats. What were you? They're a bunch of thugs. What were we, some of us? Bunch of thieves, can't trust. What were you? What were we, some of us? We're trying not to get on all that. See, life sometimes deals to a seemingly impossible situation. Just like paying the doctor bills. Just like paying the doctor bills. I had no insurance or nothing. Now, you listen to me or not? If he's Jesus and he's Lord, but then if he's brought me $140,000 plus breakthrough, how much can he do for you?
That's right. Come on.
That was what I needed. He said, it's a plow of my needs according to his riches. I was confronted with that, 130, denied it, tried to get help, all of that. Listen, I tried to get help from the bank when I was behind on everything because I'd made up my mind. I don't lose nothing according to the scripture. No man has left father and mother, land, brother, sister, for my sake and the gospel that lost anything. But he shall receive 100. See, that scripture, because I took hold of it, not based on how I felt or what it looked like. I took hold of that when I felt plumb defeated. I felt like I was not going to make it. My business wasn't going to make it. I felt all the emotion, but I stood on that word, but God, and I'm telling you that word, that faith in God, based on that word for me, took the limits off of my God. And but God, I don't hardly owe anything on my house anymore. I've been laying hands on it often for years. This is mine, not mine in the banks, Lord. Thank you.
Amen. Bless him.
I didn't see it the first year. Don't matter. I believe I received it when I laid hands on it. Come on, somebody. You can't just believe when everything's working out. You won't never believe. Because situations always presents to you great limitations. Because, and you know what? When you're in your struggles, you got to set out you want a good name. God wants you to have a good name. He don't want you a little lying Christian running around here beating everybody out of money. Right. And think you're going to get blessed to the Lord. That's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Or telling people you borrow money and you don't ever pay them back. The world does that. We're not the world. We got to set out to do what's right. We got to set out, you know what, even in this right here, he says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. When I go trying to put burdens on people to have to do something for me, I try to think, how would I feel if that was them, if that was me? But you know what God always does? I heard this sermon one time. See, if we trust in people, it will limit our faith. It will put limitations on God. And you will be let down and let down. God will make sure you're let down. God will make sure they don't come through for you. I'm not saying all the time, but I'm just telling you, until we learn that our trust and our pressure has to be on the promises of God, which we can't see, is why it's a challenge to do it. Well, you know what? I shut up and I told the Lord, I said, Lord, you give me a good name. I believed you when I didn't have a good name. And I believed you, Lord, and pray God, and I'm not going back off of that now, Lord. It looks like in the natural that I'm rich, that I'll never get this paid off. $130,000 bill there, $15,000 bill that was separate from that one. That's $30,000, $130,000, $40,000, $45,000, $50,000. That's $150,000. But I told God, I said, God, you give me a good name, but God, and I'm going to pay that. If I have to pay the rest of my, made up my mind, but God. And so I picked that phone up and I made an agreement with them. And right in the time of that agreement that I was made, all of this is linked to your faith, friend, is why I'm telling you. Victory's linked to your faith, not just whatever Jesus can do. Jesus has done got the victory. He done whipped it. He done whipped every bill we'll ever have. And so, while I'm on the phone, y'all know the story. I mean, he canceled $130,000 in a few seconds.
Amen.
Paid for. Paid off. And you know what? I made an agreement to pay so much a month on the other doctor bill. Didn't look like I could afford it. I just come out of all of them years nearly losing my house and all of that. And I made an agreement because I'm a man of my word. We should be people of our word. If the doctors help you, pay them.
Yeah.
In righteousness you shall be established.
Yeah.
Not in wrongdoing.
Yeah.
He will not establish us a people in faith in wrongdoing.
Yeah.
He won't do it. And so I made an agreement. I said, okay, we're going to agree. And I released my faith and I said, God, you'll send the money in. You'll bring that money in, God, and I'll end up with a good name. I'm not going to end up with a bad name. The Bible don't say that. The only way that can't happen is if I quit believing for a good name and just give in to the way it looks and feels. And we're going to suffer. We can't go on vacation. And we can't go out and eat like we used to. Whatever those are. Did you know that the Bible says, Jesus said, Mark 10, I believe it is. He says, take up your cross and follow me.
Amen.
Do you know what the cross means? It means, now he hung on it. It is a symbol of death. The cross is a symbol of the most, back at that time, the most hard death punishment that was available. Most cruel. But if you go on and you look into the word, for us now, symbolic, it means self-denial.
Yeah.
It means denying myself.
Yeah.
Denying oppression. Denying sickness and disease. Jesus took it all on him, denying having a bad name. I refuse to have a bad name. Well, you know what? On account of that, Teresa just said the last payment, we made payments promptly to them doctors. I thank God for them doctors. I thought that was too high. I thought the $40 pills were too high. I thought that, you know, I even paid for painkillers I didn't take. I sent them back. They come in there with painkillers. I wasn't going to sit around here and come out of the hospital hooked on dope.
Yeah.
It's okay. Take two a day, the doctor said, but I wanted four. And anytime you begin to abuse the instruction of the doctor, which God's okay with, you're under the anointing. But when you begin to take five and you begin to take six, then you're coming out here and you're walking over here in darkness. And now that healing power take work to bring restoration to your body like it needs to, because you've got a faith in a substance instead of in a God. And I'm not into medicine. I'm just trying to explain how that can limit your faith. I mean, it can put a damper on the faith that God's given you in Romans 3. And so Teresa just said the last payment. Woohoo! On the 15,000. Paid for. And I still got to go. I'm still going to Chevrolet play for all through the. Oh, baby, I can go anywhere I want to and get anything I want.
Bless
you. Yeah, take your time. No, you ain't listening to the spirit behind what I'm saying. It ain't got nothing to do with I'm a preacher. It ain't got nothing. Y'all sure didn't make me rich. I ain't seen y'all come in, boy, God told me to give you $4,000. I ain't seen none of y'all do that. I'm not doing it. You ain't supposed to. I went to the Lord one time and I said, Lord, I said, I got up and took up tithes and offerings at Faith Restoration. I took up tithes and offerings up there, Lord, and you anointed me and the offerings doubled and tripled, Lord. And we had $60,000 in a building fund. They built the building. Bought 10 acres of land, $100,000, paying $10,000 a year, every year for the land, its paper. And they had 60 something thousand dollars in there. Started this church. They all blessed me. Me off and I told the Lord, I said, Lord, why don't they give me $10,000 up there if they really loved me, if they really cared about me the way that they said they did? And I served there for 8 years, Lord. They can give me $10,000 and I'll buy speakers, Lord, and microphones. I had $300 to go do the will of God. That's all. Didn't even have Teresa for me right then. God ain't told her and I ain't going.
Bless you, boys.
But then I told her, the Lord told me to go start a church. Well, I'm telling you right now, I ain't going. How many knows that ought to be your response to something that ain't got a click in your spirit? Whether it's your husband, wife, or what? Let's fast about this. Let's pray about this before we go do something like that. And so I said, okay, I didn't get all mad at her. I went to the Lord. But anyhow, I'm telling the Lord all of that about Faith Restoration. Boy, they could give me $10,000 and I could get all set up. You know what I was doing? Putting a limit on God. Didn't even realize it. I mean, you know you can do it and don't realize it. But when you realize it, you better snap out of that real quick. You better come out real quick. Say, I'm swimming out of this. I'm coming out of this, Lord, with your help. I'm coming out, Lord. But the Lord spoke to me. He said, I didn't tell them to give you no money. I thought, why not? It would be good, Johnny. I thought that time. I thought, why not? Why not, Lord? I served up there. I mean, it ain't got nothing to do with what you've done up there. What my God, I mean, God was raising me and learning me how to submit to authority up there. He gave me treasures that was untold up there, teaching me to be faithful, teaching me to go when I'm sick, go when I'm not sick, go to the jails when I don't want to go. Now go on Christmas, go on Friday nights on the streets. He was teaching me to obey Him regardless. I mean, that's what the cross means, self-denial. I deny fear's right in my life. That's self-denial. Your flesh, your spirit man don't want none of that. Your spirit man wants the things of God. My spirit man wants the things of God. And so the Lord told me, He said, I didn't tell them to give you $10,000. And I thought, well, my pastor here is God. I mean, that makes sense. If the Lord had told him, he'd have been right on them and told them. He would have, I know, you know. But I thought, well, he's a forgetful man, though, Lord. He forgets what you tell him. Y'all don't know Brad like that. He forgets. Told him the other day, I said, yeah, I remember one time he was going to ride the horse and forgot to put the saddle on him. Go and get that. Where's the saddle? Well, you didn't put it on. I went to his house. I'm up there. I thought you wasn't supposed to ride a horse on Sunday at that time. You don't ride a horse. And I looked at him and I said, we got church tonight. I look at Brad. I'm about 2 or 3 or 4 months old in the Lord. He gonna take me to the jail. At that time, I had a religious mentality. You didn't do nothing on the Sabbath. But I didn't know the Sabbath was Saturday at that time. Sunday was Monday in the Jewish calendar. Blowed my mind when I found out that I had been going to church on the Sabbath. See, you gotta watch all that religious stuff. But you know what? I told the Lord, I said, okay, Lord, you know all about it. Praise God. You know what we need here, and I'm going to go by faith. Look, God, I went and bought $300 worth of plywood and let some people know. And we want to help you. We want to help you. We want to help you. Get over here with the plywood. They brought their nail gun. They wanted to sow a seed. You know, they were Christians. They wanted to sow a seed and put that up. They get over here, and he looked at me. One of them looked at me, and he said, that won't never happen. I said, get busy. Put that plywood in Ashley. I done spent my last $300, but God, we gonna do something.
Right.
Well, where are we at today, but God? We never borrowed not one dime to renovate this whole building from back under to up here, praise God. I mean, we sowed seeds and believed God to bring it in. I'm telling you this for a reason. It's not just a story. It's people on the move for the Lord in their personal lives. And we come together and we've got that fire for the ministry in here when we come together because we got it at home.
Right.
We got it individually. Need boy, you've one puts 1,000, two puts 10,000. You multiply it, no way, you do the math, man. We run a bunch of demons out of here, out of this city. Well, you know, God changed what God was doing. God was taking me from not having enough faith to believe that he could do all of it, looking in the natural, but I refused to put my trust in people. I went to the bank up there. I still have to deal with issues. Like I have to show them how to bank sometimes. See, we have an anointing. We can't help it. We're just supernaturally anointed by the Lord. I mean, we just have supernatural wisdom at times. I'm figuring out ways to prosper without them door cutters. Bless God. Tell me I can't prosper. That Bible says the blessing of the Lord makes me rich. That Bible don't say the blood overhead door makes me rich. That Bible says the blessing of the Lord making me. Now I need to believe the blessing on the blood overhead door because that's what I'm called in. So I got to be in authority and blessed and walking in the blessing of the Lord right where I'm at. Be successful where you're at. Well, I can't do nothing. I can't. That's not in the Bible. Go on, find, get your Bible out. Find the word can't. It's not in there. Not in the dictionary. I went to the dictionary. I go to the bank, and they said, we need your congregation to start up. I said, I need a banking account for Faithway Christian Church. We're going to have to get your congregation down here. I said, I don't got one. They had never crossed that bridge before. You know, I said, why do I need a congregation? Start making a gun in here. Well, you know, if you got misused, they can. I said, oh, I said, I see. I said, they can vote me out. I said, they can get rid of me. Oh, well, I mean, it kind of like that, you know. I said, well, maybe God's tired of that. I said, bless God, I just feel like I'm standing here telling you right now I might be going on all these churches I don't really know. I said, but I feel like maybe God's getting tired of that. He told me to come down here and start a church, and I won't admit. I want an account from the church. I said, I don't got no congregation. I said, I'll tell you what happened down there. I said, what happened is, I said, these people that's used to kicking their pastors out, I said, they'll be finding them another church. I said, I won't be going nowhere. God told me to go do this, like God. Well, now, I wasn't saying that ain't nobody there yet, but I mean, I went in it that way.
Right.
I went in it like that. If people have tried to congregate, take people with them. Take people with them. Some of y'all in here have been here, you know. Sandy, I'm sure you. I found out about 6 months later it happened. I'm like, I wonder when they didn't come tell me. Just hit the road, Jack. Not y'all. Got to watch some of you.
That's good. He talks to us the way he talks to us.
Sandra come in the other day back there in the giveaway. Come in there. They go to that auction, you know. They found a big pacifier singer when they did auction. Where was that? Because I do sermons, you know, every now and then, and pacifier me, you know. And that thing she thought about it. So they're telling me about that big pacifier. But I said, what'd you get it? No, I didn't get it. I said, why didn't you get it? Because you're the first one I'm going to use it on. And I was just messing with it, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But you know what, praise God? See, look, God, I'm telling you, God is moving. He's moving right now, and he's moving forward, and it's kind of like the Lord is saying, okay, I'm going to start lining everybody up. I'm telling you, God's fixing to lead you into things you never thought could happen in your life. You're going to be blessed going in, blessed going out. Blessed, but it's going to be to the faithful, to Jesus, the obedient to the Word of God. Don't stagger, just like Abraham. Give me that Romans 4, please, Ben. Let's read that. As it is written, somebody say the Bible. That's what it means, written down. I have made thee the father of many, talking about Abraham. As it is written, Old Testament, I have made thee a father of many nations. Now look, when he made him a father, he couldn't have kids.
Right.
He wasn't made a father when they were able to have kids at 90 and 100 years old. I don't know, I can't remember, I didn't know. But God said that it's lay down and count the stars. This is going to be your descendants. See, that's what the Word of God does for me and you on healing, on finances. It gives us vision beyond where we're at that God said, and that faith in that Word begins to work when we utilize it in our life. It begins to work and bring us to where we're steadfast believing God. We're going to be steadfast believing God for what we've got conviction of in the Bible. I'm convicted in the Bible about being healed. I start feeling guilty when I just let my body go. That's a good thing, Jane. Start feeling convicted when I'm letting down on believing God for finance. Why? Because I'm not supposed to stand. It says, before him he believed even God who quickened the dead and called those things that be not as though they were. That's another key to your victory. You don't call yourself broke. You don't call yourself weak. Don't call yourself pain. Don't call yourself what you see in the natural. Don't call yourself weak.
Yeah.
I mean, you'll still hear it out there today. Well, we're just worms. We're just worms, you know. We're just old sinners saved by grace. That downgrading yourself.
Yeah.
No, we're not sinners anymore.
Yeah.
We were born of God. The Bible says we were new creations. But until you have that transformed thinking in your mind, you're going to walk around thinking, I'm just unworthy. I just ain't. And Satan will help you out. Boy, you didn't read your Bible. You didn't go to church like you should. You trying to believe me for Christmas? That ain't God doing that. When it makes you feel condemned and all of that, conviction's a different thing. When God wants me to change direction, he will convince me and then inspire me at the same time, not condemn me. There's a difference, and you better learn it. Satan condemns. That's why the Bible says in Romans 8, I believe it is, there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit that goes after the Lord. There's no condemnation to those that are in Christ. Who walks not after the flesh. See, but if we don't deny ourselves from being the, we're walking after the flesh. The way we feel, the way it looks. Still whining about Teresa, the way I don't like some of the things she does. Still whining about some of y'all. I gotta grow up. Still whining about some of y'all. I don't like what you do in church. Why I do, that's none of your business. If you don't know, it's not your problem, it's mine. Right? Now, if you know what I'm talking about, then it's your problem. Change it. If God ain't messing with you, he's dealing with me. Scotty, you're going to have to grow a little more. You're going to have to grow up a little more, Scotty. You know, you don't like some of their way of getting on your last nerve. You know, you think it's them. No, that's me. It's you. You can't get on Jesus' last nerve. Right?
Right.
You sure couldn't, but God. I mean, you could persecute him. You could mock him, call him the devil, but God. And then it 70 leave him at one time. 70 followers leave him at one time. And he stands up and declares, I've lost none that the Lord gives me. And I'm like, man, that was good. Bunch left here one time. I thought, oh God, how are we going to pay for that building? I had to turn right back and start believing like I was before they left. And you know what? God started bringing it in out of state. He started bringing money into this ministry. He called Doris over there, backslid on the Lord, to start tithing to this church. Well, they didn't go to church. And made the help make the payments on that building. We paid it off early. Now, I want to come up here. Anybody else want to go? But God, every time somebody leaves, we prosper around here. Anybody else? Or y'all rolling young gold?
Bless you,
brother. I didn't know. Some of them left. Not what you want as a pastor, you know. But seeing God do that in the middle of all that makes you bold. It makes you like, glory to God. It ain't based on people. See, your success is not based on your pastor. Oh, I'm like, just get to Scotty, I'll be all right in the middle of the week. That's okay, but not after 3 years. Not 3 years later.
Bless him, Lord.
You got to start saying, glory to God, it's Wednesday night, somebody going to come in there like I used to be, glory to God, and we're going over there, we're going to take some ground, hallelujah. We're going to bring them in and all. See, that ought to be happening after a little while of being a Christian. Y'all know, I'm going to church like God. I'm ready for it to rock, man. Let's rock. Man, maybe the Lord will let me testify or something. I go to church on Wednesday night, boy, and boy, I'll be waiting on Brad. Hope he lets us testify. Woohoo, man, I need to tell what God's doing. Then all of a sudden he say, somebody testify, ping, I'll be like a popcorn. Blah, 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 and everybody, yay, glory to God, God, he's got it, ain't he? I'm thinking, man, what have I got? I don't know, I got nothing. All I am is just fired up. I'm whipping the devil at work. I'm whipping the devil. I'm ready to go to church, but God, I'm fired up. I'm fasting. Somebody say fasting. Fasting's good. I'm fasting. I'm 3 or 4 months old in the Lord, and everybody's like, what? Scotty quit eating or something? At work, you know? I don't know. He called it stupid fasting or something. Asked him, how come you ain't eating? He said, to start with, he wouldn't tell me nothing, you know. I'm just not eating. Then one day I thought, well, God, I got to tell him I'm serving Jesus now. What are y'all idiots? You fast. It's in the Bible, man. Why do you think things are happening for me? Why do you think I'm getting raises and all y'all getting fired, man? So I started telling him, I'm fasting. Fasting? What's that? That means I'm abstaining from food and I'm drawing close to Jesus. I'm drawing closer to Jesus. You know, they're like, so they go around talking about, Scotty, he's a little freaky. He's a little freaky Christian. Freaky. Well, they don't think I'm freaky now. All of them done went off and done their lives, marriages, sickness, disease. They started coming to me. Reckon you can come pray for my daddy? Reckon you can come over? Yeah, man, sure. Let's go, man. I'm going to heal them. I'm going to get them healed in Jesus' name. They saw some demonstration. Fasting does that for you, friend. You do it right with a heart towards God. Well, I'm just starving to death. No, we can look at you and tell them, blessed God. I can show you starving to death people over yonder in India over there, blessed God. They don't look fat like we do. Heavy. Some of y'all fat, that gets on your nerves. Heavy. Thick. We got some reserve, in other words. Now, in all seriousness, fasting's good. See, fasting helps you to focus in on the Lord. It's called self-denial. I'm denying myself food. I'm denying myself food, and I'm going to draw close to the Lord. I'm going to focus on the Lord. I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray in the Spirit. Some of you, well, I can't pray in the Spirit. You need to be baptized with the Holy Ghost with praying in tongues. And if you are baptized in the Holy Ghost with praying in tongues, you need to pray in tongues in the morning. Pray at noon. Pray at 2 o'clock in tongues. Use it. It's a gift. Now, I feel funny. You look funny. Just do what you feel. Before you know it, you won't see yourself feeling funny. You'll be like, glory to God, this is a lifeline to the spirit realm. It's right here, but God, I mean, I go in one time, I don't remember what I was praying about, but I'm praying in the natural. I'm just praying. I don't feel nothing. I'm in the bedroom, and I'm just praying and praying, and I run out of something to say. I couldn't think of nothing else to pray, and all of a sudden, I thought, oh, I could pray in them tongues. I hadn't been baptized in the Holy Ghost very long. And I thought, well, I could pray in them tongues, and I thought, but it sounds so stupid. It sounded stupid to me. My mind can't do it in English. And I thought, just do it. And so I broke down, which they sounded a lot different. They'll develop in use. Well, I started baby gibberish. That's what it was. Boy, before you know it, I mean, it come up in there and I'm like, I couldn't even do it. I got overwhelmed. I'm a poor God. I got up. Jesus. Ooh. Man, these tongues are really real, man. You know, I felt it. I couldn't get no breakthroughs. I couldn't feel it, so I'm a tongue talker today. Tongue talker, boy. I talk in tongues, hallelujah. See, what it does, it may seem foolish to you, but it ain't very foolish when you go to another level of faith, because there's another level of faith and another level of confidence. And before you know it, you're saying, where's that devil at messing with that church? Let God just let me have him, Lord. Just let me give me that assignment to intercede over that church, Lord. I'll intercede over it. I'll bring down them principalities. Give me dominion, God, there. Had some ladies one time, Abraham didn't stagger at God concerning the promises of God.
Hallelujah.
He didn't stagger. That was a major thing for me because I was one staggering before I got born again. I quit my job, quit my marriage. You know, I mean, I quit everything. I staggered at everything. I've done anything I want to do anytime I want to do it. If you didn't like it, I don't care. It's my life, my body, I'll do what I want. But when I got born again, I found out he wanted to leave me where I didn't want to go. He wanted to take me where I didn't want to go. But you know what? I wouldn't have it no other way now. He took me where I thought I didn't want to go, and now I wouldn't go nowhere else in the path that he's led me on. Praise God. So I want to encourage you, you know, stay in faith, build your faith. Listen to preaching. Listen to preaching. I get tired of it. Your flesh, man, they don't want to hear it. I'm telling you, until you train it. I'll go in the TV and be on, I'll go in there, it'll be on some, I mean, cartoons. I get tired of watching SpongeBob. So I'll go, 265. Poof, and they're preaching eight dinner that day. He said, I'm out. I said, what? He said, pointed at the TV. I said, that's preaching, boy. You need some of it. No, Papa, I want SpongeBob. So I let him out SpongeBob. Nothing wrong with SpongeBob. But what I'm saying is, I'm sitting there and I'm like, give me just a couple of minutes of preaching. In the middle of SpongeBob. While Aubrey's taking a shower. Because they sit there and watch SpongeBob and them. She had it on. She watches, what's some Adley video, I think it was. One of them, I told her, Siri, and got it on there. They said, once upon a time, there was a ghost. It was watching all the kids in the nursery. And Trey said, Aubrey, and she went, yeah, it's not good. Girl's learning things, thanks. I told her, hey, baby, I said, there ain't but one ghost. I said, and it's the Holy Ghost. And Teresa said, and he's good. Teaching her early. He's the Holy Ghost and he's good. So I want to encourage you. Stay on the front line. Don't get out of the fight. Get you some more bullets. Get the word of God. Hallelujah. Because you're going to levels you never thought you would go. I believe you can pay your house off early. I believe your vehicles can come in. Praise God. I believe God can bring. Don't look to man to do that stuff. You look to God, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Look for Jesus to supply your needs. Jesus to supply your emotional needs. Praise God. Look to Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, he'll show out. He'll show himself real to you. Let's pray. Father, we just praise you. Thank you, Lord.